I want to ask you, what kind of steward are you? A steward is a manager of someone else's possessions. We don't use the word very much in our conversation today, but it is a word that is used in the Bible, and particularly in the New Testament, we find several lessons that were taught on the principles of stewardship and being good stewards. Remember in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus taught the parable of the talents. This was one of two very similar parables that told of a man who went on a journey, and before he left, he assigned to three of his servants various amounts of money for them to manage while he was gone, and then when he returned, he called them in to give an account. The parable of the talents is the most familiar one in Matthew 25. There is another very similar one called the parable of the minas, and it involved the same basic details. Jesus taught a parable about the unjust steward, the steward who was a wicked steward. He taught several lessons about stewards, and you just wouldn't be able to say truthfully that you can't find anything in the New Testament about stewardship, about being better stewards. Now, stewardship is not all about money. Everything that we have been entrusted with from God, God expects us to be good stewards of those things, with those things. And yet we always think about money, and we seem to have the biggest problem getting things right with the money. And yet, has God given you anything besides money? And lots of it, right? And so the matter of stewardship is the matter of how we manage everything that God gives us. But tonight we're going to talk about money, okay? I hope you don't think I've pulled a fast one on you tonight. You may have noticed sometimes I'll put the title of the sermon I did for this morning on the bulletin. You may have also noticed that I didn't put tonight's title on the bulletin, and maybe you thought, well, he doesn't know what he's going to preach about yet. Well, that's not true. I had already decided. Someone else says, well, he's not going to put that title on the bulletin because he knows nobody will come back. Why is it that we think that we don't want to hear about money? We all want to hear about how to be a better steward. I don't have a problem with that. Actually, I didn't have room to put all that on that one little spot where it's got Sunday night sermon. And so I just left it off. But I assure you that I'm not trying to pull a fast one on you tonight, but I do want us to think about the matter of stewardship and particularly how to be a better steward. And what I'd like to talk about tonight is our money. But rest assured that the things that we study tonight about money will be applicable to everything that God has blessed us with. And so tonight, from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 12, I want us to observe five Bible reasons for being a better steward. If I were going to ask for a show of hands, and I'm not going to, I would hope that if I asked a question, and if everyone would raise their hand, but don't, I'm not asking that, but if I said everybody who wants to be a better steward, I would hope that everybody here would raise their hand, though the reality is one or two may be asleep and didn't catch the question. One or two may be distracted and didn't understand what I said. And there may even be one or two old curmudgeons who don't want to be a better steward. But the question is, how could a child of God not want to be a better steward? Because when you study the Bible, you'll come away with the impression that God wants us to be the best stewards we can possibly be. Let's read the text first, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. There's a lot about the matter of giving and money in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. Chapter 8, you remember, speaks of the generosity of some of those other brethren that Paul was familiar with, the churches in Macedonia, and he tells the Corinthians what a wonderful job the Macedonians had done. And in chapter 9, he gets into some of the details that sort of hold up or support what our giving should be. Let's begin reading at verse 6. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but it is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. How can I be a better steward? Number one, obedience. The number one Bible reason for being a better steward is the matter of obedience. There never has been a time when God has not commanded gifts and sacrifices and offerings of His people. Old Testament, it started with Cain and Abel. The whole thing about Cain and Abel, so far as we look back and look and see and read and learn from, goes back to the fact that God commanded them to bring an offering. Every time you turn around reading through the Old Testament, you learn about someone bringing an offering, offering a sacrifice. Cain and Abel. Noah, Abraham, Jacob, and on you could go until you get to Moses and the Israelites and then all of God's laws regarding the various sacrifices that He wanted offered. And you find as you study through the Old Testament in the period of the not only the conquest of the land of Canaan but also the period of Judges and then the kings, you will see constant references to the altar, to the sacrifices, to the offerings. Then when you get to the New Testament, we read passages such as what we've just read here about the matter of giving, cheerful giving, giving as we've purposed in our hearts, giving generously, supporting those in need. The Lord's church gave on the first day of the week, the same day they partook of the Lord's Supper in remembrance of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The first day of the week. Which first day of the week? Whichever one is coming up. That's the one. You see, because no particular one is identified as being more important than all of the rest. And so on the first day of the week, the disciples broke bread, partaking of the Lord's Supper, and they gave. And that's our example. The example for us to follow. So it would be rather astonishing if someone were to try to claim, well, you know, I didn't know God wanted me to give. How could you say that? Of all of the things that I've ever heard people say and reasons why they don't want to give, or they don't want to give as much, or they don't want to give as often, I don't think I've ever heard anybody say, I didn't know God wanted me to give. God wants me to give? Really? You see how foolish that is. And so, here's the bottom line. Hold on. This is going to hurt. If you are not giving regularly, proportionately, and cheerfully, you are not obeying God. Let me say that a little differently. If you are not giving regularly, proportionately, and cheerfully, you are disobeying God. That hurts, doesn't it? But can you find a Bible explanation in any other way? Reason number one to be a better steward is the matter of obedience. Number two, not because it's secondary to number one, but because we had to put them in a list. The list is not in any particular order, and so we could start all over and we could say the most important reason for being a better steward is the matter of honesty. Honesty. You ever thought about that? In Malachi chapter 3, Bible tells about the Jews in Malachi's day, and God said they were thieves. That's right. God called his people a bunch of thieves. A bunch of thieves. Oh, he didn't say it in that way. Let's turn over there to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, beginning at verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you're robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse because you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. God said because of their paltry, selfish, stingy giving, they were being dishonest. They were thieves. They were stealing from God. Somebody says, I don't know if I've ever heard anybody talk to me like that or not. Well, that's sad. Because if we're not giving to God as we should, then we are thieves. We are robbing God. We're stealing from God. Now listen, I don't want to steal from anybody. But if it came down to having to make a list of who I would pick first, you know, who I would be least afraid of to steal from, I'd go through the whole world before God would find his way on the list to steal from God. But that's what's happening when we're not giving as we should. When we're not being good stewards with our money, we are robbing God. And so honesty is a very, very good biblical reason for being a better steward. Number three, love. Love. You know, as human beings, we tend to give the best and sometimes even the most to those that we love very dearly. And when we put ourselves ahead of God, and we put selfishness, when we put anything ahead of God, just be very, very honest. What does that say about our regard for God? Someone has said that nothing loosens the purse strings like good old-fashioned Christian love. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 24, Paul tells the Corinthian brethren, "Therefore, openly before the churches, show them the proof of your love and of our reason for boasting about you." Show them the proof of your love. You claim you love God. Paul basically is saying, give like you love God. How much do we really love God? How is it that we have been able successfully to convince ourselves that stingy, selfish, token giving to the Lord and His cause doesn't say anything about how much I love the Lord? How have we been able to convince ourselves of that? It's just not true. It is not true that improper giving does not say anything about how much we love God or how little we love God. It does. It says everything about how we love God. To not be a good steward, to not have regard for proper stewardship, is to demonstrate the idea, God is not really all that important to me. Number four, gratitude. Gratitude is a very good reason for being a better steward. Psalm 116 and verse 12 says, "What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits toward me?" Now, let's put that in the proper historical perspective, okay? These words were written down by a man who lived before Jesus came to the earth and died on the cross, by a man who lived before the church was established and therefore had no knowledge other than the prophetic revelation through some of the things that he wrote about the coming body of Christ. These words were written by a man who, assuming it was David, though he were a king and a very important man in his day and in his culture, He lived in a very primitive house with no electricity and no running water. No toilet. He'd never heard of the word pharmaceutical. He'd never seen a specialist who could try to help diagnose the ails and problems in his physical body. Why, there wasn't even any such thing as a barbershop in his day. I'm just trying to get us to think about the fact that when David wrote this psalm and he talks about so much God had blessed him with, he lived in a very, comparatively speaking, primitive time. He didn't have a computer. He didn't have a smartphone. He didn't even have a TV. He lived before those telephones that you put your finger in the hole and pull the thing around to a certain number. You young folks, I know you don't know what I'm talking about. We were helping clean Mother and Daddy's house out. We found an old telephone that I remember when we used it. It sat in our house. It was black, made out of the stuff they call Bakelite. Looked like hard plastic. And it had the big old dial on it, you know. It looked like military surplus. No offense to you military guys, but that's kind of what it reminded me of. It was so heavy and so solid. I mean, you could take that thing and you could beat 10 or 12 people away from you if they were bent on hurting you real bad with just the receiver. And I asked my brother and my sister, I said, don't y'all want that phone? I said, I remember when that thing sat on Daddy's desk. They said, yeah, I remember too. I believe I'll pass. Sister said, I don't want it. I've got too much stuff already. I said, I can't throw this thing away. I brought it home. I'm not going to try to figure out how to hook it up, you know, and make it work and all that. But I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to clean it up and just let it be a reminder. One of the reminders that I'm bad about holding on to, of how far we've come. But David lived in a time when there were no automobiles. Well, if you traveled 100 miles, you'd gone about as far as anybody in the world had ever gone, unless you were in the Navy. And he talks about how much God has blessed him. What shall I give to the Lord for all his benefits? And I said, let's put that in historical perspective. Now, you say that. I say that. What shall I give to the Lord in view of all of his blessings? And I start going down that list of all of those things that David didn't have, but I have them. And all of the things that have been developed and invented and found and discovered that make our lives so much easier. And that's just from the physical aspect. What about the church? What about the sacrifice of Jesus? What about his blood that he shed to pay the price of my sins? Now let me ask myself, what shall I give to the Lord in view of all of the benefits that he has provided? That's a good reason to be a better steward, isn't it? To be grateful, to express my gratitude to a God who has blessed me beyond belief. Number five. Faith is a real good reason to be a better steward. You see, giving is not a matter of money. You thought it was. No. Giving to God is a matter of trust. It's a matter of trust. we have thought up and concocted every imaginable reason why we shouldn't give God more. And most of them come down to the fact that we don't trust Him enough to give. Remember back in Malachi 3 where God told His people they were a bunch of thieves and robbers? That's kind of what He said. Turn back there again, Malachi chapter 3. Listen to what God said. Listen to what God followed up with His accusation. You are robbing me, this whole nation of you. By the way, they hadn't completely quit giving. They were giving a token amount to God. They were offering for sacrifices the animals that wouldn't bring a good price in the market. The ones that had some kind of defect, they were still offering. And God said, "You're robbing me." Verse 10, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Then I will rebuke the destroyer, the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. All the nations who call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts." God said, "You can't believe how much I will bless you even more if you will just trust me and give." And so faith is a very, very good reason to be a better steward. Now, I challenge each of us to ask ourselves, what kind of steward am I? How well am I doing managing what the Lord has blessed me with? And in particular, how am I doing with my giving to the Lord? I hope you understand, I'm not trying to browbeat you into giving more because we've got some desperate need or some shortfall in the church treasury and we desperately need to raise some funds. If that were the case, then I think I would be very upfront, forthcoming with you about something like that. This particularly is a principle that if we do not honor and obey, we will not go to heaven. And I want to go to heaven more than anything that I could ever imagine. And giving to God in the right way is a reflection of my spiritual health. So how healthy are we? If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing this song.